As we come to the message today, I want to speak to you on this subject, what the choir sang about today. Lord, send your spirit. You know, you sang the song, and the choir brought out some truths in the song. But when we talk about the Lord sending his spirit, what does that mean? Not only to the Holy Spirit, but what does that mean to us?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today. Dr. Glaze will conclude his message, Lord, Send Down Your Spirit, from our series, Will the Real Holy Spirit Please Stand Up? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Lord, Send Down Your Spirit.
Lit on you like a dove. Lord, send your spirit. Lord, send your power. Anoint me, Lord, so that I might be able to have this peace that the Holy Spirit brings. Man, just think about it. Worry is a sin. And when you worry, you slap the Holy Spirit in the face. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. You have the Holy Spirit abiding in you. And then you start worrying about something. What are you saying? I don't care that you're in my life. I don't care that I'm anointed by you. I'm going to take this thing on myself. And so I would have to ask the question. You know, if you're sitting here today and there's stuff troubling you, could you really sing that song that the choir sang? Could you really sing that song? Lord, send your anointing. Well, if you're praying for anointing, what are you praying for? You're praying for peace. Because that's what the Holy Spirit brings. The second thing that we see is that the Holy Spirit is symbolized as fire. And this represents purging. It represents cleansing. That whatever is in our life, that he's able to burn off the dross in our life. He's able to purify our souls. I had a hat. I meant to bring it in here, and I forgot to bring it in here. But it's a baseball hat. It's kind of a yellowish baseball hat. Beige, that's the color. It's a beige baseball hat. And I don't know where they came from, but there's a couple marks that got on my hat. And so I had one of these, I don't know if you've seen them, these frames that you can put in your hat. And then you clamp a frame over top of it, and then you can put it in the washing machine and it doesn't get out of shape. So I put it in the washing machine and washed my hat, and that stain still didn't come out. It was still there. And I did something stupid. I got the hat. It's back there in my office. I got some Clorox. And as a matter of fact, I got a paper towel, and I drenched the paper towel with hot water. And I just dipped a little bit in the Clorox, and I put it on there. Man, my hat changed 5 different colors. As hard as I tried, the stain came out. It did come out, but now my hat is messed up. And so what do we look at? That the Holy Spirit, he's able to clean off the dark spots in our life without hurting our soul. He's able to take us through the fire and all the dross and all the things in our life that slow us down, all the things that clog up the machinery, the evil thoughts, the gossip, the lust, the bitterness, the anger, all the stuff that's gunked up in us. The Holy Spirit takes us through the fire, and he burns it all off without harming our soul, without doing damage to us. Man, that's a powerful God. That's a powerful Holy Spirit. That when we look at this cleansing, they went and got my hat. Man, I'm salty. See? The Lord can take off the spot, right? Without harming the hat. Amen. The fire of the Lord. That God is a consuming fire, that he purges us and allows us to feel the cleansing of that fire. The Holy Spirit is also likened unto a seal. And what does the seal represent? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. We already see that the Holy Spirit is a seal. We looked at that, how that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Look at this. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knows them that are his. That we have a seal on us, and that God knows who we are. I like the commercial that's out for the insurance company where this big brother, you could tell he be pumping some iron, man. He's standing there in the yard, right? Winter, he's out there. Rain, he's out there. Sunshine, he's out there. The wind, he's out there. And there's two burglars. And they come up like they're going to break into the house. Don't even try it. Don't even try it. Don't even try to come up in here. And you know what? When the devil comes at us, he might try to attack us, but we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, don't bring that stuff over here. No, no, no. Don't bring it over here. Don't even try it. We've been sealed. We belong to God. We have his ownership stamped on us. And so when we say, send down your spirit, we're saying, Lord, send down confidence and let me know that I have your seal and that I belong to you. That when something was sealed, like I said earlier, with the Roman seal, that meant this belonged to Rome. And you better not mess with it. You know, when something was sealed, according to Josh McDowell, they put the Roman soldiers out to guard it. And what they had four Roman soldiers. And they would guard this, whatever it is. You figure the tomb, how big was it? And they would guard it for 4 hours. And then they would take a break. And four more soldiers would come and guard it. And why did they do that? They did it because it had the Roman seal on it. Josh McDowell talks about if somebody fell asleep, they were set on fire with their own clothes. Another situation is that if the Roman seal was broke, they would take the people, the guys that were guarding the seal, and they would fling them off a cliff and let them fall headlong into a canyon, smashing them wide open. That's how serious they were about guarding something with the Roman seal. Well, I'll tell you what. If man can be that serious about something that he puts us, how serious is God when he has sealed us? Oh, look. Ephesians. We didn't look at the Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 30. Ephesians 4, 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed until the day of redemption. That seal cannot be broken. That's why, you know, man, I know I get in trouble now. I'm getting ready to get in trouble, but I gotta say, that's why I believe that when you get saved, that seal can't be broken. That seal can't be broken. I know there's people going around saying that the seal can be broken and you can be saved 1 minute and not saved the next minute. But see, my salvation, my salvation is not dependent on me. My salvation has been sealed. Put that, hey, Deacon Hart, put that seal back up there again. Can you put that seal back up there? My salvation has been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Sealed. And whose name is on that seal? God, you bet not mess with it. Don't even try it. You're sealed. And the Holy Spirit seals us. The Holy Spirit is likened unto first fruits. The first fruits. And he has promised us a greater inheritance. That because of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, that has anointed us, that we have the promise of a greater inheritance. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter, chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, wow, reserved in heaven for you. The Holy Spirit is just a down payment on what it is to come. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But notice here, here goes another good eternal security verse in verse 5. Who keeps us? We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So it's not, we're not kept by our power. We're kept by the power of God. And notice here about this inheritance. And that's an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled. Y'all heard my brother. He gave this illustration, right? So I got to give him credit for it since he's sitting back there. But, you know, there was a man who was dying, and he was very wealthy. And he brought his son in, and he began to share with him all the wealth that he had. And, I mean, the guy, he just had abundance of wealth. And he began to share with his son that all this was going to be left to him. And he showed him all the money and all the cars and everything else. So this guy got happy. And he went out and went to a bar and began to drink a little bit and ran into this lady. And he started talking to her. And she really wasn't listening to him. She didn't want to hear what he had to say. But then he started talking about his dad getting ready to die. And how that he had left all this stuff to him. And it's, now she began to listen. And she was listening, and he just began to talk and talk. And, you know, he set up to have a date with her a couple of days down the road. The next day he went over to visit his father, and his father said, son, let me introduce you to your new stepmother. Christ gives us an inheritance we can't lose. It can't be taken away from us. That what has been laid up for us in heaven cannot be taken away. Amen. Amen. The first fruits, the inheritance, the Holy Spirit is the first fruit. He is the down payment on inheritance that we have to come, that we can't lose. The Holy Spirit has been likened unto oil, and this refers to his anointing, that when the Holy Spirit anoints us, he sets us apart for his service. He sets us apart to do his bidding. He sets us apart to do his will. So the choir sang about it when they were up here, because what did they say? Lord, send your spirit so that what? So that we can be used by thee. By thee. Lord, send your spirit so that we can be used by thee. The anointing that comes down on us. God anoints us for whatever task it is that we're supposed to do. And you've all heard my testimony about how I hated public speaking. And I didn't want to, you know, after I gave a speech in college, I had no desire to stand before a crowd and say anything again. And then the Lord called me to preach. But guess what? When he called me to preach, guess what he also gave me? His Holy Spirit. He gave me his anointing to be able to do what it is that I've been called to do. That's why Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he hath anointed me to preach the good news. Anointed me. You know, sometimes we might need to ask the question, if we're struggling with something, if we're dealing with a struggle, we might have to ask, have I been anointed to do this? Have I been anointed to do this? Man, I know there's, you know, I love to teach and preach God's word. You know, it's not a problem for me to just start studying and stay in the book for hours and hours. And then I love to be able to stand up and share what God has given me. That's an anointing. That's an anointing. You know, there are people that love to just serve here around the church. I mean, they just love to serve. They don't need to be up front. They don't need any recognition. They just love to serve. That's an anointing. And the Holy Spirit anoints you for whatever task that he calls you to. The Holy Spirit gives you a fire in your spirit. He gives you a passion to be able to go forth and do it. That's why Jeremiah said, when I said I was going to be quiet, that his word was like a burning fire shut up in my bone. Man, when you've been anointed, you just can't sit there. When you've been anointed, you just can't lay back. When you've been anointed, you just can't let things go by. When you've been anointed, you got to jump in there and do what God has called you to do. Man, there's an anointing, and when that anointing is on you, man, you just feel the power to be able to do what God has called you to do. Oh, I'm not saying there's no opposition, but opposition don't bother you because the anointing is upon you. And you know that I'm here doing what God has called me to do. The anointing, the Holy Spirit, separates us, empowers us, for service. We see that the last two, water, that the Holy Spirit is symbolic of water. He said that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That if you are a child of God, John said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then what did he say after that? He said, and this he spoke of who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is water coming up out of you. And this tells us, turn to John chapter 10 and verse 10. John 10 and verse 10. And I don't have time this morning to correct the bad theology in this verse, but there's a lot of bad theology in this verse, especially when people compare the thief, because the thief is not the devil. The thief are the false teachers. But I don't have time to correct that this morning. Verse 10, John 10, 10. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Let me ask you a question. Are you enjoying abundant life today? I mean, really, come on, let's be honest. Are you enjoying abundant life? You know what, I was thinking about this when I was meditating on this point this earlier today. I said, you know, I've had some good days, some bad days, but you know what, when I look over my life, I'm going to be honest with you. And again, I've had my share of problems like we all have. Since I got saved, man, I have enjoyed my life. I have enjoyed my life. I'm not looking to go to heaven today. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I'd like to think I got a couple more left, but if the Lord took me home today, I would have some regrets. I really would. There would be some things I would regret. But you know what? I've enjoyed my life. I've enjoyed it. Enjoyed my marriage with my wife. I've enjoyed that. Enjoyed my kids, grandkids. You know, people think I'm crazy, but I've even enjoyed pastoring Bethany Baptist Church. this is what Jesus said here, that I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And if the Holy Spirit rests upon you, then you ought to be enjoying abundant life. That's not to say that all your needs are going to be taken care of as far as, well, let me say all your greeds are going to be taken care of. Let me say that. You know, that's not to say you don't have any problems. But, man, are you enjoying your life? Man, I find that, you know, I'll just be honest with you. There are very few things that upset me because I just feel the Spirit has just rested on me and is let me know everything is going to be all right. You know, as many problems as I deal with here during the day, when I go home at night, I relax. I leave it all here. Pray for you during my devotion time. Pray for you in my prayer time. But just leave it, man. You know, the Holy Spirit, he lights upon you, and he lets you know that you have an abundant life. Enjoy life. Man, enjoy your life. Don't walk around angry. Don't walk around upset with folk. Don't walk around carrying grudges. Like I said last week, my little granddaughter, Olivia, her favorite movie, the theme song, Let It Go. Let It Go. Let it go, man. Let it go. Enjoy your life. The Holy Spirit brings abundant life. And then finally, the Holy Spirit is likened unto wind. And what does wind represent in John chapter 3? You know what it represents? Let me go back and read what I put in my notes. So go back and look at your notes. Here I say that in speaking to Nicodemus about the new birth, Jesus said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." The wind is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Even though no one can see it, the powerful effects of it can be clearly seen. Likewise, no one can see the Holy Spirit, yet his mighty influence can be seen in transformed lives. Wow. Wow. That you are a commercial for the Holy Spirit. That if the Holy Spirit is in you, that nobody can see the Holy Spirit, but there should be some change in your life. There ought to be a change that people ought to see something different about you, that you ought to live a little different, that you ought to think a little different, you ought to talk a little different because the Holy Spirit has blown upon you. He is upon you. The power of a transformed life. Has your life been transformed? And we have some ex-drug dealers in here. We have some ex-drug addicts in here. We have some ex-alcoholics in here. You know, I'm sure every kind of sin that you can think of might have at one point be sitting right here in this congregation. But you know what? What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have joy in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. Transformation, transformed lives. Lord, send your Spirit.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Anointing Fall on Me from our series, Will the Real Holy Spirit Please Stand Up? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Lord, Send Down Your Spirit, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, Lord, Send Down Your Spirit. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, Lord, Send Down Your Spirit. Or you can contact us at 877-831-5060. Again, that's 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can request the entire series, Will the Real Holy Spirit Please Stand Up? We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Please keep in mind that we remain on the air through your prayers and gifts. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.